Okay, he does. John says he'll be right here. So maybe just for the benefit of the group, I'll just do a quick scan of the agenda. So after the basics, I'm going to do a quick report on a couple items. We have our standing resolution to reaffirm the board, the virtual meetings, the follow-up action on the educator effectiveness plan for the three sites. And then we have our compliant WPS compliance review to adopt a resolution that verifies the board has reviewed the compliance documents.
Chuck, did you say he's on his way?
That's what he said. He said he'll be right here.
Before he logs in, Chuck, were you a minute late because you were watching your Terrapins beat my Hokies?
No.
Oh, they're killing them.
Oh, that's good news.
No, it's sad. I'm going to start crying. Big crocodile tears.
I didn't even realize that game was on. I thought it was tomorrow.
No, I think the Hokies thought it was tomorrow too.
Yeah, Maryland's playing with an assistant coach. The coach quit midseason.
Well, that, you know, ours got fired. So, yeah, both of them are not the head coaches.
Okay. I wonder if we should do the routine stuff right up front in the meeting that while we're waiting for John. Can we do that, or do we need the chair present?
No, I think we could, Nora, if you're comfortable, proceed with the agenda.
Sure. I can't get into my board on track because my new computer has cookies enabled and I can't tackle cookies right now. So if you could just leave that up, it'd be great.
Okay, I'll keep the agenda up.
All right, everybody, thank you for attending this special board meeting. We'll call the meeting to order at 1:35. Sean, can you please do a roll call for us?
Chuck Jags.
Present.
Ian Connell.
Present.
John Flaherty. Shara Hegde.
Present.
Fia Oman. JP Anderson.
Present.
Nora Cavello.
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Present.
All right, thank you, Sean. Do we have any public comments?
There were no requests for public comments.
All right, thank you. We will, I think, skip opening remarks because I don't have any. Kevin, do you want to jump into the CEO report?
John is just now joining, so we could see if he'd like to do the board chair before the CEO report.
I am good with that.
Hey, John, you're on mute. And Nora just got us to D.
To E?
No, up to item D. So board chair.
Item D. Okay, thank you.
Just throwing you right into the fire, John.
Thank you, Nora. I appreciate it. And Kevin, just update me. You're up after me, so you have not talked about the fire yet?
Correct. I was going to show the location and a couple pictures and then pass it to you.
Okay. Well, why don't I simply say, Kevin informed me on the day it happened that there had been a fire and then a second fire at the Gilroy location, not on the property, but adjacent to it. And I'll turn it over to Kevin. And Kevin, perhaps you, if you could brief the board, I can tell the board after you're done what my actions on it.
Okay, I will give a brief update. As John mentioned, the fires did not come onto campus. The smoke did require us to do an evacuation. The morning fire, the afternoon fire, there was already, it was after dismissal. So this is our Gilroy Prep campus, and I just zoomed out and back in. So hopefully that's showing there. There's the Miller Slough right to the left of the campus, which is to the west of the campus. And then there's train tracks. And there's a homeless encampment pretty much running all the way down this slough, even beyond the Gilroy Prep school boundaries. And we've been in communication. I say we primarily, Kirsten, our vice principal for culture and operations, Jesse Cornea, have been in regular dialogue with the city, with city officials on this. Most recently, because of the cold weather, some of the people that are living here in trying to stay warm, one of their dwellings caught on fire in the morning, and then another one caught on fire in the afternoon. And I'll just share quick pictures of that. The fire, the smoke is what caused us to do the evacuation, not a threat from the fire crossing over. But that said, can everybody see one of the fire there? Yeah, that is right adjacent to the school boundaries. This shows it a little better, the separation we have from the school and then the fence and then the fire. But clearly it's something that we want to not have happen again. The fire departments were quick. The fire department, Gilroy Fire, was quick to respond and extinguish the fire. But the ongoing presence of the homeless encampment does continue to create concerns for our parents and staff. And then the fire just makes it a more urgent issue, or the potential for fire. So really appreciate John's initiative when I shared this with them, volunteering to write a letter to the mayor. So John, I'll let you take it from here, and then I'm happy to respond to any questions. And I'm sure Kirsten could shed some light as well on what we've done and what we're hoping will continue to put pressure on the city here to advance this issue.
Right. Thanks, Kevin. The letter is fairly straightforward. It's polite in tone. I'll send it to our general counsel, who will circulate it to you afterwards, but we don't intend it to be confidential. It says the following. There were two fires. The first one we had to evacuate. The second one occurred after the students, the school day had finished. We regard it as fortunate. It's the fire started on the other side of the slough of the creek, which I think more people identify it as, Kirsten said, a creek running under the overpass there. We appreciate the issue of the homeless. I mentioned that as a government executive in the past, I've worked on homeless issues extensively, and I'm familiar with the challenges faced by government, particularly local government, who don't have the resources to give to them. But that even with that, the issue here is not resolving the homeless issue, but making our children safer. I mentioned that it had it been a drier time of the season, and if you look at a picture which I had attached, the tree line there, that this could have turned into a more serious situation. So I said that our staff is will prepare some sort of briefing for the parents when we resume at the school year. And I told the mayor, I'd love to be able to have the city have a plan of action that we can convey to the parents so that this is taken care of. So it's wide open for the, and then I copied the chiefs of police and the fire department. I made a mention of a quick response by GFD. And sort of the standard thing that, somebody would write You know, if you are a politician and look behind it, it's, hey, we just, you know, we've talked to you guys before. I mentioned that Kirsten and others have talked to, I think the police department. We've talked to you guys before. We're concerned about this particular encampment being so close to the school. This is an incident that happened, and we'd like you guys to do something about it. We were lucky this time. We may not be lucky next time, whether it's a fire or anything else that's unfortunate. So we've elevated our contact with you, and we're going to inform the parents. So you guys, as a person on the other side of the fence, I'd think to myself, geez, you know, we've been notified three different ways now. It's gone higher up, and I sure don't want constituents of parents, especially if something happens. That's in my mind the calculation that an elected official would make. So thought it was a good idea that we implement that. This is not something about being critical about homeless. Frankly, they could tell the encampment to move 100 yards up to, you know, Leavesley. The problem, you know, their ingress, egress, if they want to live next to a creek, which some homeless do, you know, and down below. And there's a lot of things that factors that go into homeless decisions I'm familiar with for transportation projects, freeways and stuff like that. You know, that's fine. It's just, it can't be next to the school. It's too attractive a nuisance for potentially problematic issues. A lot of mentally ill folks there, et cetera, et cetera. So, end of report.
John, I think you really covered this very thoroughly and thoughtfully and are on the record with our situation, our concerns. I guess my question is, if the city doesn't do anything, what options do we really have on a longer term basis, if any?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's because there's one of two options, and one that I'm not sure, because of the railroad right away next to the creek, I'm not sure the extension, the mayor can just do a pass the hot potato and say, hey, this technically is not our land. You need to get in touch with, you know, Union Pacific or the county who deals more with homeless issues than we do. It's not our land. It's an unincorporated county land. It could be any one of those things, in which case we then, Chuck, to answer your question, the next step would be to write the county rep,
Wasserman, Mike, yeah, Wasserman, who's been to, yeah, the campus.
Mm-hmm. Mike Wasserman, and the county is much slower on these things, one, because of bureaucracy, two, because their homeless problems are so much larger, but there may be the county sheriff's office do the same sort of thing. So there may be a continuation of the effort. If it is in fact the city's responsibility and they don't do anything, then I would come to the board beforehand and say, okay, they didn't do anything. We did issue a notice to parents because we have to follow through on what we said, but we now may want to ask that Gilroy members contact their parents, contact their essentially Chuck, have a campaign. Parents contact their Gilroy City Council members. I did not send it to the rest of the council members. I want to give the mayor her opportunity, but the members have parents contact them. We contact them. We contact the Gilroy Dispatch and Gilroy Life, and we start to talk about it. I think that's a board decision that we do that, because if we don't do it well, and if we, you know, just run it as a campaign, we look a little harsh to the homeless issues and what they're faced with. I did mention in the letter too, we are sympathetic, some of our kids at other locations are students coming from a homeless or what I call a what's the term? Unhoused environment is the new term. So that sort of thing has to be done with a deft touch, that we recognize the situation there. I think if for those of folks who have, you know, maybe some of the staff here, I don't think I've ever seen when I've gone by, I usually park and walk over the overpass. I don't think I've ever seen kids there. There's different groups of homeless, and this does not seem to be a family homeless encampment. It seems more to be another kind of, we have a homeless encampment that I've been faintly associated with near where I live. That's unhoused families, number one. And then number two, Kirsten and I, perhaps others know about St. Joseph's, and which is, a few hundred yards away from our school. And David Cox, who lives in my neighborhood, it runs that. And there are homeless and unhoused families there. So,
okay.
I think we want to be aligned with a sympathetic ear.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Other questions for myself or Kevin on this? Tom, any issues that you see from your end?
No, sir. All clear.
So a few more, notches on the tune-up if we have to, before we made it a newsworthy event. I just don't, if I was on the other side as an elected official or a staff official or the police chief, I'd say, okay, they're trying to be good about it. They didn't get our attention. They have now, but, they haven't run off to the dispatch or anything and started that stuff. So we've got a few more bites at the apple without doing that.
Thanks, John. From a parent's perspective, you see the homeless problems and you always kind of think like it's over there. You don't think about how it could be directly affecting my kid from this kind of a perspective. And it's very eye-opening and frankly a little bit scary from a parent's perspective, but it seems like we're taking the right approach and appreciate the work there. We should have seen this coming on the 2021 bingo card, but it didn't.
Yeah. Just to go in a parting gift for the for the year, Norm. You're absolutely right. Okay. Sorry, I went on and we're going beyond your beyond the time. Kevin, do you want to just we'll fold right into your other report besides the fires?
That was all I had today, John.
Okay. Let me pull up the agenda. Can you put up the agenda then? We can get through the rest of this pretty quickly. Moving on to the board resolution to reaffirm virtual meetings. As you know, this is checking the box. Tom, why don't you take this item A?
Sure, John. Thanks, board. So we have a resolution before us. We made a decision entertain and pass such resolutions on a monthly basis pursuant to the letter of the statute. That's the resolution we have before us. The state of emergency is still in place. If there any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I think this was pretty straightforward.
And this answers the mail on the 30 days, this meeting, Tom?
Yeah, my understanding is it does. That's right.
Okay. I would just use this point to bring up the COVID-19 problem and the latest iteration of the variant. the numbers I saw this morning from a report are sobering. Tripled in San Mateo County, tripled in Santa Clara County, which means down in South County, the numbers are probably higher. There are going to be issues of there are issues of breakthrough that are going to be more prominent, and the other thing I heard is besides breakthrough issues, the question of the booster shot. Federal authorities are wrestling with the issues of how long the booster shot will stay effective against the latest variant. That's all the bad news. The quote good news is it. There are some early reports, although no one's willing to go on the record from the federal perspective, that this is this can be less of a seriousness because there are hospitalizations of kids and other stuff going up, and it may provide, if an individual contracts it, it may provide a much stronger immunity than has been done in the past. So thin gruel for what we're faced with, and I would recommend to Kevin, as I have, that we be concerned that the counties are moving toward mandatory boosters for first responders, mandatory boosters for frontline health workers, which may mean teachers if they haven't. You guys may want to, Shara or Kevin, you may want to let us know that you guys are hearing rumbles saying that mandatory boosters may be coming down the road if they haven't already. But I think we're headed that way. And while the issues of quarantine have been shortened by the CDC, we may be faced more with some independent study choices or worse. So just a heads up on that while we talk about the consequences of COVID-19 in our meeting. Kevin, anything?
Yeah, John, I mean, I appreciate your comments. We're definitely keeping our eyes out. We haven't heard of any mandatory booster requirements as of yet, but we're definitely, you know, keeping plugged into all the county offices of education. So we're getting the latest information as needed.
Shara, have you... anything from your end, your professional end?
No, I think that going back one step, people are still grappling with vaccine mandates. I think in kind of our world, big districts, some have adopted vaccine mandates. And I think a lot of the charter networks are moving a little slower on that, but that's the first step. And then I think a booster mandate would come after that. But it's kind of a question of, I think, when rather than if. But I think that's the direction we're heading in.
The other observation to make is testing is becoming much, and there's a shortage of tests. So we have to anticipate that that may be the case operationally as well. So we may be faced with that if the issue of testing is confronted by the school or by parents.
A lot of districts are providing free tests before kids come back from break, or is there any talk within the districts we're operating of that kind of an approach?
We have sent tests home to all of our students so that they can test prior to returning. It's not mandatory unless they were out of the country, okay. But we did send tests home. Thanks to Amy and Kirsten for organizing that.
That's great. That's great.
Thank you, Kirsten. Thanks, Amy. That really is great. Okay, do I hear a motion for the resolution 2021?
This is Victor, I'll motion.
Do I hear a second?
Seconds.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, Sean, you want to call the roll on that?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Via Oman? Sorry. JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Covello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes-Clonia?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Sean. Moving on to item B, C, and D. These are the issues we discussed in an earlier board meeting. And unless there are any additions from senior staff, as well as any questions from the board members as they looked at these plans since we had them, I think we can just go through and vote for vote on these in sequence. Does anyone want to be recognized for questions or comments with respect to the effectiveness plans? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion on the effectiveness plan with respect to Gilroy Prep School.
So move.
Chuck, thanks, Chuck. Vote for favor. Do I hear a second?
Nora, I'll second.
Thank you, Nora. Sean, would you move to the hearing no comments? Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Chara Hegde?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion approved.
Okay, moving on to section C. This plan is for the Hollister Prep School. Do I hear a motion for approval?
So moved.
Chara, a second.
Second.
Chuck, thank you. Any additional questions or comments with respect to the Hollister plan? Hearing none, Sean, would you call the roll?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Right. Thank you, Sean. And moving on to D. For the effectiveness plan for the Watsonville Prep School. For those people that may be watching this meeting in isolation, both now and in the future, these matters have been discussed in prior meetings, and our racing through them is not an indication of that board members have not brought questions or discussion issues forward. Please check earlier minutes and board tapes. Do I hear any additional questions or comments for the Watsonville Prep School Education Effectiveness Plan? Sorry, Educator Effectiveness Plan. Hearing none, I'll hear for a motion to approve.
So move.
Thank you, Chuck. Do I hear a second?
Ian seconds.
Thank you, Ian. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, board, for meeting to bring up the this in the appropriate time frame, and thank you, staff, for having it ready before the end of the year. The next item is the compliance report that the staff is, or I'm sorry, that the staff has prepared additional information and structure. If you recall, this was a matter that we discussed at the last board meeting, and also during blanking on the term that we use, not off the record session, closed session thing, sorry. The compliance report, I hope that all of us have taken a look at it. Does somebody want to run us through this, the new additions and information that the board is being provided with?
I can start, and Kirsten, please chime in if you have anything in addition to add. Basically, I just put the packet on the screen. So we had the memo, We created a resolution to verify that the board reviewed the compliance materials for Watsonville Prep. So basically everything that Kirsten put together for the state consultant who did the compliance review was compiled for the board as well, with all the related links on this document. And so basically you're having the opportunity to review everything that the consultant reviewed on the 17 items that they have on the form that they provided seeking the signature for John on it. So Kirsten, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I don't think so. I think, as you said, it was all put together in the memo. The only thing that I would add is that we are going to be putting together an annual version of this, and that will be determined, I think, when that happens, will be determined at a later time, just to do an annual review of any of the policies and procedures that the board has approved over the years, just so that any new board members are up to date. And then, hey, just as a good reminder for all board members.
And to, I would also tell the board that we are in the process of going back to an earlier discussion. We're in the process of reviewing and examining our operational documents, reports like the fire events, the reporting tree for the fire events, contacts, et cetera, as well as other things that the board discussed at our last board meeting. Currently reviewing those with some suggestions to senior staff. And then we'll go through the governing committee. My intention is to go through the governing committee with respect to upgrades and manuals and operations and that sort of thing. So this is not what the staff is putting forward is not the culmination of what we discussed in terms of operational upgrades and operational tempo. That's a project that is going to happen during 2022. Kevin and I have talked about that. He has sent me documents and we'll review those and go through the governing committee. Other questions or items? Okay. Thank you. We don't need an approval on this, do we?
Yes, John, the resolution.
The resolution, of course, sorry. Do I hear any questions or additional comments? And if not, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution?
No, John, I did have one question, just trying to understand this. On the on the sections that talked about the vector training, if I'm looking at the right document, sorry, let me pull this up again. I had it right in front of me. It talked about, and I'm sorry, I did the same thing. I kind of looked at it, clicked on it, but there was a section that talked about vector training, K-12 education or addition online training. And I just wasn't understanding the document where it says that these certain training courses specifically for, and it was addressed to Kristen Carr, and it's page 1 of 1, and I apologize, but it's vector training K-12 online edition. It talks about courses not started and they're due like December 31st, somewhere due Friday, September 17th. So is this a document that I'm just not understanding this. So does this mean that these specific training courses have not been completed? Is that what I'm looking at? Sexual harassment, first aid, bullying recognition. I'm just not understanding because it looks like there were due dates there, but they weren't started. So I just,
Kevin, do you want me to take this?
Yeah, JP, just so you know, I just put on the screen that email you were referring to. And
oh, yes, that's what
we'll
it is.
We'll let Kirsten give her.
Okay, synopsis. Thanks.
JP, because these are like they're confidential information, we just gave a sample. This is what I get at the beginning of the year to tell me the classes that I have to take.
Okay.
And And I did complete all of them. And so what the state gets is an affirmation that everyone did complete their vector their vector training within the due dates. Okay. And these are the classes that we have to take. So you can see that we do have all of those areas that were required by the state. Those are covered in our Safe Schools vector training. Gotcha. And so that's just showing what they are.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You bet.
Thanks, JP. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? Hearing none, do I hear a resolution for adopting? Do I hear a motion to adopt the resolution?
Is JP so moved?
Second.
JP seconded. Sean, would you?
Nora?
Sean, would you call the roll, please?
I'm still not sure who seconded that. Sorry.
It's me, Shara.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Okay. Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Nora Crivello?
Nora signed off.
Okay. Victor Predisclonia?
Aye.
The motion is passed.
Thank you, Sean. Next item on the agenda?
Yeah, adjournment.
Do I hear a motion for adjournment? And Kevin, do you want to say the next time we meet is a month from now?
We have it scheduled for, is it January 27th at 1:30?
Right.
And that's on our calendars.
Yes.
It is, yes.
Yep.
Thank you all board members for agreeing to meet during this holiday. Sorry, it went longer than we anticipated. I'm sorry I'm late. Have some family business that we had to take care of. And thank you, Nora, for filling in. We'll see you all in the new year. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Thank you, Chuck.
Victor, second.
Do I hear a second? Thank you,
yeah, Victor. Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Victor Predisclonia?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn is approved.
Thank you, Sean. And thank you, board members. Any other comments? Where the meeting is adjourned?
Yes, just be safe, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, be safe. Right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.